You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to TheRickSmithShow.com. If you've missed any portion of the program, you can download the podcast at TheRickSmithShow.com.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Thousands of nurses are maintaining good morale on the picket lines at Allina Health in Minnesota. The highly profitable company is trying to shift $11 million in health care costs to the nurses by taking away their Minnesota Nurses Alliance health care plans. Matthew Keller is an RN who works with the union. He says while some media reports have focused on nurses who have crossed the picket lines, the vast majority of striking nurses are in solidarity with the strike.
The media narrative has been about crossers, but I'd say that there's 90 to 95% compliance with the strike line. Things are going well. Morale is going very well.
Bargaining is continuing for faculty members at 14 Pennsylvania State Universities and colleges in an effort to reach a new labor contract and avoid a strike. Dr. Kenneth Mash of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties says the difficulty in reaching an agreement can be traced to budget cuts to the university system.
It's rooted in part in the cuts that we took to the state system in 2011. We had an 18% cut to our overall budget. It was 23% if you count the federal funds that were also involved. And we've never recovered from that.
Dr. Mash says although faculty union leadership is authorized to call a strike at any time, no strikes will be called as long as good faith negotiations are continuing. A key issue is an effort to cut compensation for adjunct professors, a move Dr. Mash says is indicative of the increasing corporate mentality of university administrations.
They're proposing 20% cuts to the salaries that our adjunct faculty make. We're talking about the people who are at the lowest end of the scale, people who have no promise for moving up a salary scale, but yet their funds are going to be cut 20%. At the same time, the chancellor, who is the highest paid public official in our Commonwealth, took a $9,000 increase last year.
Labor contracts for 20,000 Canadian auto workers are expiring, creating the possibility of a strike as early as Tuesday. Unifor, the union representing the Canadian auto workers, has chosen GM as a possible strike target if no agreement can be reached. One of the main sticking points is the future of the Oshawa, Ontario GM plant. Unifor is trying to secure production of new vehicles at that plant beyond 2017. Pensions and wages are also on the table. The United Auto Workers in the U.S. say they will support the Canadian auto workers as those contracts expire.
Brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield National Labor Office, empowering working Americans with stable health coverage for over 50 years. The National Labor Office is committed to remaining the top choice for the 17 million union workers, retirees, and families they serve. Online at bcbs.com/NLO. Brought to you by the California Teachers Association, 325,000 educators who know quality public schools make a better California for all of us. Information on how California teachers are shaping a stronger future for our kids is online at cta.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I don't want to abolish government. I simply want to reduce it to the size where I can drag it into the bathroom and drown in the bathtub.
You bet I cut the taxes at the top.
How dare you? How dare you?
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Rick Smith Show starts now.
Welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks for being here. Today on the big program, going to try something a little bit different. Was kind of in the mood to go through and play some of my favorite labor music. I've had a bunch of people email me, say, hey, you know, we love the bumpers you play. We love the idea of labor music. Let's hear some of that from the past. And I thought taking a day and just going back through some of my favorites, maybe some you've heard, maybe some you haven't, to get, you know, kind of an idea of, you know, what people like, what we don't, and to hear some stuff that, trust me, mainstream corporate controlled radio not playing, because really the message is not the message of corporate America. The idea that workers have rights, the idea that fair and honest treatment on the job, safety, that those are important, and more importantly, dignity, respect, those kind of things should be front and center. So today I'm going to play a whole variety of music that I've collected over the years, things that I like, things that I have said, you know, I like the message here. Some musically, it's going to be all over the spectrum, from rap to reggae to folk to country to, you know, to punk, you name it. We're going to cover the spectrum. The one key component in all of this is that it's about workers' rights. It's about the ability of workers to be able to join, form unions, to have a voice on the job, the collective bargaining, all of those things, the mistreatment of people in the workplace, and really to, you know, to just get that out. I'd love to hear people's thoughts, comments, what you, maybe if I do this again, what you'd like to hear, what kind of music do you, when looking at this, you know, what is it that gets your attention? Me, the message in music has always been very important. And I've wondered, you know, why is it over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, we haven't really seen the kind of protest music of the past, the kind of message music of the past. And I've wondered why. And I'm, you know, to me, that's important stuff. You can only have so much about, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. There's got to be some message there, at least for me. So I'm interested. I'm curious what folks would think, what it is that people want to hear. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. We're going to start off really with one of my favorite all time Bruce Springsteen songs. It's called, the title, Youngstown, about the 1977 shutdown of the, really the end of the steel industry in Youngstown, Ohio, starting with the Youngstown tube and steel plant closure, and just a wave of closures through the late 70s and into the 80s, and eventually the destruction and tearing down of the remnants of the industry. So you don't even know that it was there. This song really kind of embodies that era and that time. So here you go, Bruce Springsteen's Youngstown.
Here in Northeast Ohio, back in 1803, James and Danny Heaton found the ore that was lined in Yellow Creek. They built a blast furnace there along the shore, and they made the cannonballs that helped the Union win the war. Here in Youngstown, here in Youngstown, my sweet Jenny, I'm sinking down here, darling, in Youngstown. Well, my daddy worked the furnaces, kept them hotter than hell. I come home from now, work my way to Scarford, a job that suits the devil as well. They'll attack and I cook and limestone, fed my children and made my pay. Them smokestacks reaching like the arms of God into a beautiful sky, soot and clay. Here in Youngstown, here in Youngstown, sweet Jenny, I'm sinking down here, darling, in Youngstown. Well, my daddy come on the Ohio Works when he come home from World War II. Now the yard's just scrap and rubble, the of them big boys did what Hitler couldn't do. Yeah, these mills, they built the tanks and bombs that won this country's war. We sent our sons to Korea and Vietnam. Now we're wondering what they were dying for. Here in Youngstown, here in Youngstown, my sweet Jenny, I'm sinking down. Here, darling, in Youngstown. From the Monongahela Valley to the Mesabi Iron Range, to the coal mines of Appalachia, the story's always the same. 700 tons of metal a day. Now, sir, you tell me the world's changed. Once I made you rich enough to forget my name. In Youngstown, in Youngstown, my sweet Jenny, I'm sinking down. Here, darling, in Youngstown. When I die, I don't want no part of heaven. I would not do heaven's work well. I pray the devil comes and takes me to stand in the fiery furnaces of hell.
This town had a name, Bill. The girders for the buildings that you climb every day. But the well went dry and the crops all died. Now there ain't much to show you but a highway sign. But I swear to that statue in the square that there used to be something there. But now there ain't no jobs in Steel Town. Not anymore. Man in business suit, he used lots of big words like economic and boom. There's tons of waste that needs a place. Well, we've got the money if you've got the space. And besides, you need to be revitalized, and your workers need 9 to 5s. And hey, it's good for jobs in Steel Town. Not like spooners, janitors, and prison guards. And they look out, and I look in. Sometimes I forget who the prisoner is. But it's fine, cause their numbers are on the rise. Bad, bad guys got another side. And hey, it's good for jobs in Steel Town. For the working and we'll be right back. executives of McAfee say goodbye and they'll smile and wave. And we'll say, wait, you forgot your pile of toxic waste. Hey, we got families to raise. This is where I gotta plant my grave. But no, there ain't no jobs. No, there ain't no jobs in Steel Town. No, not anymore. No jobs in Steel Town. Just like before.
Mischief Brew with Jobs in Steel Town. I love that song. Before that, you heard Bruce Springsteen's Youngstown, you know, really talking about the demise of the steel industry in this country. And I'll be honest, I'm surprised we don't hear more of these kind of songs. But again, you know, it comes back down to, you know, what kind of corporate controlled media do we have? What do we hear on the radio? It's all stuff that's soft and weak, and in my view, not with strong messaging. And, you know, just one of those things that I thought we'd throw out there. The next song I like, I love Elvis Costello. I've always liked him. I'm going to play Welcome to the Work Week by Elvis Costello.
All you got to tell me now is wow, wow, wow.
Always love that song, gotta be honest. Another one of those. I just like Elvis Costello a lot. This one, another favorite, going back to the 80s. You know, a lot of this stuff, you know, came out of the 80s. And again, you know, to me, you know, kind of wondered, you know, where's that music at? But Jimmy Barnes was, you know, an Australian guy who, you know, hit big with this song, Working Class Man.
Oh,
Nice. Again, you know, another one of those great songs from the past. The next song I'm going to throw out here is from a guy who passed away several years ago, and I would argue one of the great storytellers that very few people know about. And Utah Phillips, one of the big regrets I have in doing radio and doing this. A number of years ago, we did a concert where we brought a bunch of folks together at the Steelworkers Hall, and it was fabulous. We had, you know, 100 and some people come out, and it was great in that, you know, we got to have a labor kind of concert. And I didn't have the money to get him from Rhode Island to central Pennsylvania and to pay his fee. And it's one of those great regrets. I should have just dug it out of my pocket because he's a fantastic artist and was a fantastic storyteller. This is Utah Phillips, and one of my favorite songs of his, of which there are, you know, tons. But this one, Mr. Block.
Please give me your attention. I'll introduce to you a man that is a credit, our red, white, and blue. His head is made of lumber and solid as a rock. He is a common worker, and his name is Mr. Block. And Block, he thinks he may be president someday. Oh, Mr. Block, you were born by mistake. You take the cake, you make me ache. Go tie a rock on your block and go jump in the lake. I may do that for liberty's sake. Yes, Mr. Block is lucky, found a job by G. The shark got $7 for job and fare and fee. They shipped him to a desert and dumped him with his truck. But when he tried to find his job, he sure was out of luck. He shouted, "That's too raw. I'll fix him with the law." Oh, Mr. Block, you were born by mistake. You take the cake, you make me ache. Go tie a rock on your block and go jump in the lake. I may do that for liberty's sake. Oh, Block hiked back to the city, but wasn't doing well. He said, "I'll join the union, the great AF of L." He got a job next morning, got fired in the night. He said, "I'll see McDermott, and he'll fix that foreman right."
McDermott said, "You see,
you've got our sympathy."
Now, don't we all know a Mr. Block? I mean, really, we all know someone just like that. Up next, I've got a song from the Dropkick Murphys, The Worker's Song.
Yeah, this one's for the workers who toil night and day, by hand and by brain, to earn your pay for centuries long past, for no
Rabbit!
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1830. That was the day that the Reverend Richard Allen brought black leaders together at his Mother Bethel AME Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They met to discuss the rising white violence and discrimination toward black free residents in northern cities. 40 people answered Allen's call, representing seven states. The delegates included many of the leading black ministers and abolitionists of the day. Those who attended risked personal harm as white mobs threatened the delegates. Due to the danger, the group met in secret starting on September 15th. Then, on this day, they began open sessions. For 5 days, the delegates considered multiple responses to the conditions black Northerners faced. They founded the American Society for Free Persons of Color for improving their conditions in the United States, for purchasing lands, and for establishment of a settlement in the province of Canada. The organization emphasized pushing for legal protections for black residents in the United States. They focused on education as a means of uplifting and improving the lives of black citizens. But delegates also supported the idea of an outlet to Canada for those black families who wanted to leave for their safety. The National Convention reconvened several times over the next 3 decades. Multiple meetings were held at the state and local levels. These meetings gave black leaders a chance to devise coordinated strategies to stand up against the increasing violence and restrictive laws of the North and to call for an end of slavery in the South. One outcome of these meetings was the founding of labor schools to train black students in the skilled trades as a means to gain economic independence. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're kind of doing a little music theme thing today. I'm going to play some of my favorite worker music, some decent protest stuff, some labor songs. I hope you enjoy this little bit. I'm going to play a quick block here. And at the end of it, tell me what you think. At the end of it, what's the theme behind this next block? Going to start it off with Johnny Cash.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bone. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. Born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal and a straw boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. Trouble on my middle name. Raised in a cane break by an old mama line. Ain't no high tone woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. A lot of men didn't and a lot of men died. With one fist of iron and the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons and what do you get? another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Love that version by ZZ Top and Jeff Beck. Also, I love the Johnny Cash version. And who doesn't love Johnny Cash? You know, at the end of this, you think about it. You know, is that how much different today are we than, 100 years ago when you look at being in debt to the company store, another day older and deeper in debt? And look, the wages just haven't kept up. And we see that all across the country. And I would argue that the anger that we see in our politics, a big part of that. We may not be indebted to the company anymore, but we're indebted to a company, be it, Visa, be it the big banks, be it, the car loans. We're just as badly in debt as they were back then. It's only not as direct. And, we saw that during the big collapse in 2008, as people had their cars repossessed, their homes taken, and them thrown out into the streets. It's not a lot different than it was back then. The difference now, I would argue, is there are multiple company stores, not just one. And, it goes back and makes me remember this song in particular, a story. When I first moved to Pennsylvania back in 1993, I met a guy who, he said his father was indebted his entire life to the company store. And it's when he got back from Vietnam, because when he went and got back, they gave him a bit of money. And he said the first time his father had ever not been in debt to the company store was when he got back from Vietnam and paid his father's debt. I mean, think about that. That's in you know, a lot of people's lifetimes. You're talking the late 1960s, early 1970s. You still had people in debt to the company store. It's just amazing stuff. The next tune's going to throw out there a couple of truck driver songs. 18 Wheels Rolling On by Alabama. Here you go.
Roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home. Roll on family, roll on crew, roll on mama like I ask you to do. Monday morning, he's kissing mama goodbye. He's up and gone with the sun. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and he's off on a Midwest run. And three sad faces gather round mama. They ask her when daddy's coming home. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and they sure miss him when he's gone. Yeah, they do. Ah, but he calls them every night and tells them that he loves them. He taught them this song to sing. Roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home. Roll on family, roll on crew, roll on mama like I asked you to do. And roll on. Mama's waiting by the phone. It rings, but it's not his voice. Seems the highway patrol has found a jackknifed rig in a snowbank in Illinois. But the driver was missing, and the search had been abandoned, 'cause the weather had everything stalled. And they had checked all the houses and the local motels. When they had some more news, they'd call. She told him when they found him to tell him that she loved him. And she hung up the phone singing, roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home. Roll on family, roll on crew, roll on mama like I asked you to do. And roll on 18-wheeler, roll on.
Mama and the children will be waiting up all night long, thinking nothing but the worst is coming with the ringing of the telephone. Oh, but the man upstairs was listening when mama asked him to bring daddy home. And when the call came in, it was daddy on the other end asking her if she had been singing the song. Singing,
roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home. Roll on family, roll on crew, roll on mama like I asked you to do. And roll on 18-wheeler, roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home.
I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down the eastern seaboard. I've got my diesel wound up and she's running like never before. There's a speed zone ahead, but alright, I don't see a cop in sight.
6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got 10 Ford gears and a Georgie overdrive. I'm passing little white lines and my eyes are roving wide. Just passed a Jimmy and a white. I've been passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. Well, it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some other guy. I could find one to hold me tight, but I can never make believe it's right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. The ICC is checking on down the line. I'm a little overweight and my logbook's way behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge all the scales alright. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. My rig's a little old, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from her stack and the smoke's rolling back as cold. My hometown's coming in sight. If you think I'm happy, alright. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1878. That was the day that socialist author Upton Sinclair was born in Baltimore, Maryland. A prolific writer, Sinclair wrote nearly 100 books and other publications. Upton Sinclair's father and father's relatives had been wealthy Southerners, but thanks to the Civil War and its aftermath, the family was left in financial ruins. His mother was from a wealthy Episcopalian family and was very strict. Sinclair often stayed with her wealthy parents. These family experiences growing up gave Sinclair an insight into how both the rich and poor lived. Sinclair studied at the City College of New York, and for a time at Columbia University. He went on to write several popular novels that explored the experiences of working people in the rapidly industrializing United States. The Flivver King explored the impact of Henry Ford on auto production. Oil focused on the oil industry in Southern California. But Sinclair is best remembered for his classic expose of the Chicago meatpacking industry, The Jungle. The book was fiction, but based in fact. In 1904, he spent 7 weeks working undercover in Chicago's meatpacking plants to get material for the book. The Jungle was published in 1906 and was immediately a bestseller. It was originally published in serial form in a socialist newspaper. Sinclair said that he wrote the novel intending to set forth the breaking of human hearts by a system which exploits the labor of men and women for profit. The novel led to congressional legislation and federal regulation of the meatpacking industry. It helped lead to the passage of the Meat Inspection Act and the Pure Food and Drug Act. Labor History in Two brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in Two. Thanks for tuning in to The Rick Smith Show. Today we're doing a little music, playing some of my favorite labor protests, some of my favorite worker songs. At the end of it, you don't hear these songs on mainstream radio, and I thought this would be a great opportunity just to dust off some of the stacks and play a couple of those hardworking songs. Up next, I'm going to play an Alex Glasgow song, Hard Times at the Mill. Thank you.
got to get up. Dead or alive, it's hard times at the mill, my love. Hard times at the mill. Every morning just at six, don't that old bell make you sick? It's hard times at the mill, my love. Hard times at the mill. Me bobbin's all out, me end's all down. The duffer's in the alley and I can't get round. It's hard times at the mill, my love. Hard times at the mill. The overlooker standing at the door, watching us crawling down on the floor. It's hard times at the mill, my love. Hard times at the mill. Smashed me hand in the main shift drive. They said I was lucky to be alive. It's hard times at the mill, my love. Hard times at the mill. Ain't it enough to break your heart? After work all day and at night it's dark. It's hard times at the mill, my love. Hard times at the mill.
Another one of those songs that makes you go, what unions have done for this country in creating some say on the job and decent, safe working conditions. You know, in the days of the mill and the days of the children, not too long ago, I took my kids to Washington, D.C. We spent the day walking around looking at the monuments, and one of them we stopped at was the FDR Memorial there in D.C. And my kids were taken to the Eleanor Roosevelt display, that the statue they had there of her. And we got to talking about, you know, thanks to her in part, child labor is a thing of the past in this country. Now, there are some who want to bring that back, but the idea of putting kids back in the mills and the mines, working in the steel mills, those days are gone for now. And it's because of people saying enough is enough. And it's in part by the messaging that came out of some of these songs that, you know, look, you know, life was tough. And not having any say in the working conditions where you toiled, that's a tough one. So there you go, Alex Glasgow, Hard Times at the Mill. And keeping with kind of with the Hard Times theme, thought we'd play Sy Conn's Hard Times.
It's hard times in Washington, hard times in Tennessee, hard times for everyone, hard times for you and me. It's hard times in the public places, hard times in the factories, hard times on the corporate farms, hard times on the company seas. Hard times, it's hard times. It's hard to watch it all go down, drowning like the setting sun. Hard to watch our freedoms taken, hard to lose what we had won. It's hard to watch the towers tumble, hard to watch the struggling town. Hard to watch the bastards smile while they tear the Constitution down. Hard times, it's hard times. But it's hardly time to take.
the seat. Hardly time to lose your voice. Hardly fair to just complain, as if we never had a choice. For we are born to work and choose. We are born to rip and mend. We are born to win and lose. We are born to lose and win. Hard times. It's hard times. Hard times. It's hard times.
Good song right there. I like Psycon. In fact, I had him on the show a couple of times. It's been a while. But a good guy and one of those people keeping the music alive. My next song, one of my favorite of all time bands, the Ramones. It's Not My Place in the 9-to-5 world. Always love the Ramones. Good stuff there from the Ramones. Johnny, Joey, Dee Dee, and the whole jumble of drummers that they had over the years. Marky, Elvis, Tommy, the whole clan. Our final song of the hour. Going to play the one that matters, Solidarity Forever.
Shall run. There can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun.
Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? But the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong.
It is we who plowed the prairies, built the cities where they trade, dug the mines and built the workshops, endless miles of railroad laid. Now we stand outcast and starving mid the wonders we have made, but the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong.
They have taken untold millions that they never toiled to earn, but without our brain and muscle, not a single wheel can turn. We can break their haughty power, gain our freedom when we learn that the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong.
In our hands is placed a power greater than their hoarded gold, greater than the might of atoms magnified a thousandfold. We can bring to birth a new world from the ashes of the old, for the union makes us strong.